Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Shoot 360 is the place you need to go if you've got that aspiring hooper in your family, son, daughter, niece, nephew. Membership options out of Shoot 360 are fantastic. Now, what is it? For those of you guys late to the party, you should know. Congratulations on getting here. You're late. It's the newest wave. It's a wave that swept the city and, frankly, this country in terms of the next step, the future of basketball training. It's all of it. It's not just the shot. And they've got the NASA-level technology that Steph and Clay have used to perfect their shots. They've got it all out there. It's also the ball handling, the passing, these huge interactive video boards. You can mimic those combo moves that you see on the boards in real time. It's not like playing a video game. Super interactive out at Shoot 360, but they got all the old-school ways as well. And that's why our man Thaddeus Young is an investor in Shoot 360. New place opening up here this summer. We'll keep you apprised of the details. For now, keep on getting out to 85 Market Center Drive in Collierville. That's where they're doing it right now. Get your place in line for when the new building opens up. Again, they're at Shoot 360 at 85 Market Center Drive in Collierville. Every Monday around this time, I get on my big green egg like I did around Memorial Day weekend. I pat out the burgers like I did back at the Memphis Country Club back in the day. But I season these a little different. I don't put Lowry's on them. I season them with respect. Let's do respect burgers.
Now, it's time for the Jason and John Show Respect Burgers. R-E-S-E-C-T, find out what it means to me. Sizzling Respect Burgers, served hot and fresh from Jason and John.
All right, we will talk more certainly about the NBA Finals as we get closer to Game 1 on Thursday, but a Respect Burger certainly. Boston, I expected to be here. The Dallas Mavericks, when these playoffs started, I did not. If you've listened to me and Brad Carson over the past month, you've heard. No doubt how surprised I've been by how good Dallas has been in this run to the finals. And so it's a respect burger basically for the entire organization, Luka, Kyrie. There's different ways you could break this down. But also that front office that, yes, at the trade deadline pulls off a couple of moves that who knew would take it from what was, if you look at the entire season, the 18th ranked defense in the league to a top 10 outfit after you acquired Daniel Gafford, PJ Washington. They were 8th the rest of the way after the trade deadline. They are now 7th in this postseason in terms of defense. And I've been so impressed because I never thought, like we've said, that a Kyrie Luka team could be this effective defensively. Front office obviously has a lot to do with that in terms of the moves they made. As clear as the trade deadline date, you stick them in there. They were one of the best teams in the league defensively the rest of the day. It's that, but it's also the buy-in that Jason Kidd has gotten out of Luka Doncic and Kyrie at times, but really out of Luka Doncic on that end as well. That's so impressive. Remember, this is the same Jason Kidd that was playing the last time that the Dallas Mavericks made the finals in 2011. Now, of course, they were led by that Dirk Nowitzki leading that squad in 2011 that beat Miami. And here they are back with Jason Kidd now coach and Dirk watching from the sidelines, certainly pleased as punch. Luka, first player in postseason history to lead the postseason in points, rebounds, and assists entering the NBA Finals. He's been nothing short of remarkable. Really, his play on the court and the buy-in defensively, certainly worthy of our respect. And then it's Kyrie and the John, you and I haven't talked about it as much, but the new page, the new leaf, I should say, that he has seemed to turn over, now settled in as their number two option. Remember, there was a day where Kyrie didn't want to be anybody's number two option. That was part of why you go to Boston, was part of, I suppose, why he ended up going to the Nets. He wanted to show, especially in Boston, he could be the 1A for a championship team. Did not work out. And you have to credit this Dallas franchise, Mark Cuban, everybody else in that organization that has made him feel so comfortable to this point that we are seeing basically a brand new Kyrie, just in terms of his approach. Even when asked about Boston and sort of those times there, remember, he was throwing finger signs to the crowd and everything else, went and stomped on Lucky, the leprechaun at the middle of the court as a net later on. He downplayed it all this week, and he'll get asked about it more as we get closer to Thursday. But instead of looking at that as, oh, man, they wronged me, you know, those fans were rough, he has said, I was a different person back then, has sort of acknowledged that. And so this sort of coming around of Kyrie and this new, I love the word that Drew Hill has continued to use, this peace that he's found. Respect, Burger, to him, too, on finding it. It's certainly been a big part of Dallas's success. Again, this was a Dallas team I had losing to the Clippers in the first round. Could not have been more wrong. So respect, Burger, to them. Boston, you were supposed to be here. We'll see what happens once the finals tip off on Thursday. Moving on down, Simone Biles. She has to get it. She is now 27 years old, and she looks around now at a U.S. team that most of her fellow team members are literally a decade or more younger than her. She's not supposed to still be doing this, and this weekend captured her ninth U.S. gymnastics championship. It's on her way to the Olympic trials, obviously, and an appearance, obviously, in the Olympics. But she was fantastic. Again, she is... beat the, what did we call them? It's the yips for golf, but it's the twisties or whatever it is for gymnastics that had her, you know, basically her whole mind curled up in a ball. Could not get through that for a while. She's bounced back, and yesterday showed that she's still the best in the world. No other gymnast in the history of the sport in the U.S. has more than seven national titles. So she's pretty much setting records every time she goes out. Oh, by the way, married to a Chicago Bear. Now, Jonathan Owens isn't a starter.
Right.
But he is a Chicago Bear former safety Packer, on that right? team. Former Packer, I believe, as well.
He got right.
Now going to be with the Bears. And that relationship seems to be going pretty well. Both now currently focused on their jobs. And for Simone Biles right now, it's going to be winning gold in the Olympics. Trials are next, but she was fantastic in winning her ninth U.S. title over the weekend. Moving on, and John, I'll be interested to hear you weigh in on this as well. A guy that I gave a respect burger last week when he announced he was getting up out of here and headed to Chicago. But Mark Giannotto, man, how about that? Blow for Memphis media,
yeah.
In the sense that Mark Giannotto was fantastic at his gig, and it made us all that were competing against him, and certainly that's more of you newspaper types now, made us all better. Certainly Mark would call it like he thought it was, call it like it is, didn't matter as much about what the relationships were or anything else. And in moving up from came here to be Tigers beat writer to columnist and editor, sports editor over at the CA, thought he did a hell of a job for the, is it seven? 7 years.
Yeah.
I think he was here officially. Five or six of them with his radio show with Jeffrey Wright. Parting words, because Brad got to say his piece. I said my piece last week. Parting words for the great Mark Giannotto from you, John Martin.
Yeah.
You starting like Penny.
Don't ask me about it. No, I'm just kidding. No, I have great respect for Mark Giannotto because this is a market specifically. And I'm sure you guys have sort of spoken to this, so I'm probably repeating. But this is a market that requires some sort of institutionalism, I guess I would say. Coming in and getting to know the teams. Coming in and sort of immersing yourself with them. And also, I think, treating them with respect, even in criticism. I think that's what Mark navigated really well, more than anything. The thing that I obviously respected his move up, as you point out, coming in as a beat writer, then a columnist, getting the radio show here, and then the sports editor position. But I think what I respect the most about Mark is that even in criticism, he treated the post with, I think, reverence and respect, and he treated the teams with the same. And I think he was always fair.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he sort of, you know, again, left that room for the respect. And I always felt that with him, and I never felt, because I think, you know, we're sensitive to the outside coming in, right? We're sensitive to
absolutely
somebody coming in and trying to have an opinion about our teams. And I always thought Mark, I thought he had a great pulse. I thought he had a great sense of Memphis, and a great sense for our expectations and our teams. And that's not easy to do, right? It's just not, especially in such a short time. So I have nothing but the utmost respect for the professionalism and the talent that he is. And certainly we'll miss him. We'll miss him on Wednesdays. We'll miss him here on the station. We'll miss reading him. And I do. I think the Memphis media landscape is worse off for not having his voice in it.
Yeah. A David Jones type loss for the CF, which is maybe you shouldn't weigh in on this.
Yeah,
considering
not really,
you're
I mean,
on one
I'm
side.
Not, but
I'm allowed to do that.
But from the Memphis media landscape, I think he's definitely he's a voice that will be missed, and he's not again.
Mark didn't turn it over like DJ, old David.
The thing about Mark that I appreciated, and I think which makes it hard, which makes people like him hard to find, is that he was willing to be critical a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not that's you may think that it's not easy. It's not easy to be critical when you have to deal with people every day. You have to be on air every day. You have to deal with fans every day. In some ways, it's almost harder to do that. And I think he was willing to do that a lot of the time. And so I hope that the next person that they bring into the Memphis media landscape will be willing to do that. Because I will say this, in that position, whoever it's, whether it's for the Daily Memphis, whether it's for the commercial, whether it's whoever,
right,
you have to hold people accountable. You know, teams accountable, coaches accountable. So that's the responsibility of the job. And I think Mark always did that very well.
Well said. Mark, you know how we feel about you in terms of me and Brad. We said it last week. Respect, Burger. All the respect in the world to you. And we wish you all the best as you head up to Chicago, get settled in up there. And then finally, more of an honorable mention, Respect, Burger, but he was a big part of apparently why they did win it. So was DeMarcus Cousins. DeAndre Williams helping the Taiwan Beer Leopards sweep the Taipei Tashin Mars to win the Taiwanese Thai League title on Saturday. We love anything that DeAndre Williams is doing, and especially when he's doing it at this high a level. 11.3 points, 6.2 rebounds, 2.3 assists. And like we mentioned, his teammate was former NBA All-Star DeMarcus Cousins, so you'd be happy to know is still playing, was named Finals MVP. Now DeAndre, 27 years old, out there still getting it. In this case, winning championships over in Taiwan. That is this edition of Respect Burgers. Disrespect Dog.
Well, it's actually pretty timely because obviously we had talked about, Caitlin Clark, and more so the way we are talking about her, I think, is my major issue. And about an hour ago, Pat McAfee was doing his show, and he starts his show with a PowerPoint where he's trying to make some point. But it basically he settles on this white bitch in Indiana. That's how he refers to her, right? He refers to Caitlin Clark as this white bitch in Indiana. Mm. And he's doing it in because I you could just tell, in his mind, colloquially. Like, he's trying to be, like, this is how he talks. You know, he's like, basically, it's to be the equivalent of just saying this MF-er, you know, to him. But I think it really adds gasoline to the flame of how Caitlin Clark is covered, how problematic it is becoming. I don't even know what the point was at that point, what he was trying to say, because to me, you nullify all of it when you refer to her like that. And again, I know he wasn't criticizing her. He was praising her. But you don't have to talk about people. Like, what an awful thing to call a woman on national television. A woman that, like, I he must consider a friend because she's been on his show and, like, she was talking about doing weekly hits with him and stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, dude, what are you doing? You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't call women that. on national television that's your friend? Like, anybody. Honestly, what if Stephen A. Smith called Angel Reese, you know, the equivalent? Colloquially, in good fun, right? It's awful. It's awful. And again, he wasn't criticizing her. He was trying to lift her up. But in doing so, calling her that, I think, defeats the point. But it adds to me, how way off the reservation we've gotten with the way that we cover Caitlin Clark as a media. You have one side gatekeeping. You have one side that every time she gets fouled or hit, wants to call it racial, racially motivated, or this, that, the other. And quite frankly, I think it does two things. One, it puts a pressure on Caitlin Clark that she didn't ask for. That she doesn't, she's never engaged in it. She's never participated in it. She ain't got some tattoo on her back of her shoulders that says the chosen one. I'm here to save the WNBA and everything it.
But she knew that was coming with it when, I mean, essentially every Fever game this year was decided they were going to broadcast it.
Like, sure. That's, I mean,
she didn't ask for.
All she did, though, was be good. Right? That's it. That's her big sin, sure. Was be, you know, really good at shooting the basketball. So that does the second thing, I think, is it exhausts people, in my view, from wanting to invest in the WNBA in this because it's the entry access. You guys are saying I can't talk about it because I haven't been watching for 10 years. Right. So now I have my opinion is completely invalid. You're gatekeeping the entry to the sport. And by the way, every discussion about Caitlin Clark is completely not normal. Right. It's completely not about anything related to basketball. It's about society. It's about race. It's about inequity. It's about culture. It's about this. It's about that. It's about everything other than what the actual thing she does is. Mm-hmm. Why? Why has this become about something that is so much bigger and different than basketball when Caitlin Clark has never tried to be the WNBA Nelson Mandela? Like, she has not come in here and said, I am going to this is not her words, I'm going to transform the WNBA. I am going to take it to heights it's never been. That is my mission, and it's all because of me. I've never heard her say that. Now, it's happened. And the WNBA, before she arrived, was becoming more popular. But what I just have a problem with on both sides of this is that the discussion has gotten so far away from Caitlin Clark, the basketball player, and she's sort of become this, you know, pariah in some ways. Like, she's either a white savior or she's the white devil. It's like, what have we done? What have we done with the discussion of Caitlin Clark?
Yeah. I mean, Kennedy Carter hit her because she thinks that she's getting too much play, and she thinks that Caitlin Clark's just a three-point shooter who's getting too much attention.
And that's fine. She can have that opinion.
Well, I was just saying, that part of it's basketball.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? I don't think...
It's just a discussion of that play.
Becomes all that. So you're saying it's more the talking heads you're tired of as opposed to...
I don't have any problem with what Kennedy Carter did at all. Like, it wasn't even that bad. It wasn't like hard fouls happen in the NBA all the time.
It's bad. It's cheap.
I mean, it was a cheap shot. But look, LeBron James can foul Didi Avia, and we ain't going to have a conversation about
it's happening all the time.
You know, the history of religion in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like, what? Why are people extrapolating Caitlin Clark and on both sides? Like, we ain't never had a white woman in the WNBA before. Like, we ain't never had a good white woman in the WNBA before. She ain't the first.
Right.
I mean, you have Breonna Stewart. She ain't the first straight white woman in the WNBA either. You had Sabrina Ionescu there in New York, who's awesome, who has a shoe. Why are we acting like this has never happened before? That's what I don't understand the gasoline and the match and the flame with Caitlin Clark, and why it's just, to me, it's become a conflagration almost, bro. Like, I don't understand why we can't contain this to just basketball. Now it's got to be about sexuality and gender and race and religion and everything and socioeconomics.
That's what it is, though.
Too broad. That's what it's become. I mean, Pat McAfee up there saying that he's got this PowerPoint presentation about, and let me say this too, from the WNBA current player's perspective, I understand, because why should they be expected to deify a player that they just see as one of them? Yes, they have charter flights now. Yes, there's more popularity and more eyeballs on it. But why am I really? You guys expect me to kneel at the altar of Caitlin Clark because she's a great player potentially? When have we ever asked that of an NBA player? Like, I don't recall anybody saying Victor Wembanyama is the greatest prospect that the basketball has ever seen, and we expect LeBron James and Kevin Durant and all these guys to say every single time, man, Wemby has just done so much for the game, or even LeBron when he came in 2003, or Dwayne Wade, or Carmelo. And I guess it's because the WNBA is a little bit newer, but I don't have any problem with, I get it. They're bitter because the expectation from society is, I'm supposed to get on my knees and thank you every day for what you've done for my life. And that's not how people work, bro. That's not the reality of life. You can, I think, in the same breath, say I'm appreciative of what Caitlin Clark has done for our game.
Yeah,
I'm also a professional basketball player, and I'm going to compete. Why is that so difficult for people to understand? Now, again, it's gone extreme. You know, it's become race. It's become all this. You know, so I'm almost just so I'm so out on the discussion. I don't even want to talk about Caitlin Clark, right? Like, I don't even want to, you know. Like, it can't just be she's a great player, she's added to the popularity, but she's not the end-all, be-all for women's basketball. Like, I to me, I just said that. It was the easiest thing I've ever said in my day, you know? But we make it about so much more than that, and I just feel like that it's just not that deep.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't hear all of McAfee's comments. So clearly that's added to your frustration on things. I think for the most part, up until today, you know, in this weekend, the conversation for Brad and I talking about her and everything else had been about basketball and how right. She was going to face this as a target, you know. Mm. Some resentfulness on the part. Some of it we can understand, some not.
We had a lot of fun with the fact that her team is not performing well and put a little heat on the coach for not coming through for her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're just having some fun.
I guess my point was we kept it pretty much basketball.
Yeah, we were actually in
now,
the...
clearly,
in the...
some of these conversations have gone off the deep end. I think this was always going to happen.
I have the clip. Is it airable? Do you know? I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've got the delay in case it's not. But you want me to play the match?
Sure. I mean it'll give some context.
This is interesting. This is taking off.
He's making some point, but I'm like out on it as soon as he calls her a bitch. Like, to me, that's just like you undo everything you were trying to say. But this, yeah, I'm happy to like air it.
The goat. Is she what? I don't know. I just with my eyes, I couldn't see if she's Caucasian
very well.
Or not. So I think what we're trying to say is what the WNBA currently has is what we like to describe as a cash cow. There is a superstar. And we're not saying that the players on the court need to act any differently. That's the athletes are going to do what athletes are going to do in any sport. And I think we're all learning that WNBA... That's old school football, baby.
Yeah, oh, yeah, dog.
That is old school football. But I would like the media people that continue to say, this rookie class, nah. Just call it for what it is. There's one white bitch for the Indiana team who is a superstar. And is it because she stayed in Iowa, put an entire state on her back?
And then
the
it just gets into her. And then it goes on some more.
But, like,
point.
She's not the only good player in the class, A.
No, I mean, that's why everybody was tuned in on that game against Chicago this weekend because of the Angel Reese thing, and you got Cardozo over there, too. It's the entire class.
Yeah, Reese, you got just, Cameron Brink, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, she's the best player, potentially, you know, just because of what she does and the way she can shoot from deep. But it's just like, again, this is symptomatic of how off the rails media coverage of Caitlin has gotten. Like, he's talking to people that he's seeing on social media that maybe have resisted, because then that side is resisting it. Because this whole, I'm just over it, bro. I'm over like the, and again, that's the, I've seen one side say that you can't, if you support Caitlin, if you're a Caitlin Clark fan, you're MAGA. Seen that, which is crazy.
That's ridiculous.
But, and I've seen, this is the other extreme. Like, he brought up race. It's like, so are we just erasing Sabrina, bro? Are we just erasing Diana Taurasi?
Or Brianna.
Brianna. Like, and again, people are going to say, well, they're, you know, their sexual preferences and their, this is like, I'm over it, dude. Like, it's just basketball. It really is. It really is.
Well, it's not going to be that with Caitlin. It's because of the phenomenon that she is in terms of the attention.
But don't you think that's ridiculous?
Always be sort of. Yeah, sure. It's not even we have to have these kind of conversations. Can't just be.
Have we ever had a player where we're doing this with?
And I don't know. I mean,
in any sport?
I have to go back. I don't know that they're being.
Will we hyper analyze every single interaction?
And I don't know that they're all being hazed in the way it feels like she's being. sort of initiated
it. I didn't watch the WNBA, honestly. Yeah. I mean, a lot until probably.
No, I mean, rookies got hit. I've heard those stories.
Yeah.
But I don't know to the degree that she's getting it on a nightly basis.
Right. I mean, again, I have a daughter, right? And I'm not, but like, you don't call women bitches. Like, even if you're trying to be funny, even if you're trying to be friendly and like, but that's the type, I'm not a Pat McAfee guy because of that. Like, I, you know what I'm saying? I don't have to, mm-hmm. I just don't believe that that's how you refer, even if you're trying to be cute and funny, which is clearly what he was going for. Like, do I think Caitlin Clark appreciated that? I'd be interested. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. Maybe that's a Midwest thing that I don't get. But if I call a woman a bitch, I got something behind it.
He seems to have license to be able to get away with things like that.
That's amazing, bro. Yeah. Congrats to him. You know, I think it's symptomatic and emblematic of how ridiculous all of the coverage. It's not even about the games no more, Jason. It ain't about the games. Every time Caitlin Clark makes a three.
Well, it can't be because they're losing every game.
It's a victory for whites.
They've only won two.
And every time that Caitlin Clark misses, it's a victory for blacks. I mean, that's not, why are we doing this? You know what I'm saying? We don't have to do this. I hate it. I hate all of it. I'm interested to see what Fitz thinks. We'll talk to Jason Fitz about it, get his thoughts on Caitlin Clark and the media coverage and Pat McAfee and maybe do some NFL. Lots more to come. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
The Live Love Memphis group at the Real Estate Agency is the GOAT when it comes to the real estate market in Memphis. They're going to help you move your house, help you sell your home, and help you do so while getting the most money for it. Look, I can tell you this firsthand. These houses out here, they're still moving, still going for over asking. And if you're worried about the rates and the interest rates, are they up, are they down, or whatever, don't. Memphis market's still hot, and the real estate and Live Love group at the real estate agency can help you get the most money for your home. But you got to reach out. Sold at livelovememphis.com.
901-625-5200 is how you get a hold of Jennifer Carstensen and her hardworking team. As John says, she's going to get you the most money possible for your home. Maybe you're not in a home, though. Maybe you're in a renting situation. Do not worry. No dismay. Jennifer Carstensen specializes in helping first-time home buyers. She actually loves doing it because that's her way of improving Memphis, lowering rentership, increasing home ownership. So even if it's just questions, of course, she'd love to get you out of your current situation and get you into a ownership situation. But even if you've just got questions, how much can I afford? Where do I look? Jennifer, at the very least, can be a great resource for you. So again, that number, 901-625-5200. It's the Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the real estate agency.
Just an update. Jessica Benson, who joins us on Tuesdays, she did say that the men have to be put in a timeout for the rest of the month on the heels of the Pat McAfee.
I wondered how that would be received.
Yeah.
Because clearly that's him saying that. That wasn't him. See, I wondered if that was him doing, you know, players and how they feel about Caitlin. It's not. It's just his own words, essentially. So, yeah, I think he's going to hear about it.
Yeah.
The next 24 hours.
Look, it still is a Disney company, right? I mean, there's a certain level of, and again, like I'm about free speech. Don't get me wrong, but I think that's probably a bridge too far, just from a respect standpoint. Even if he meant it, like cute, edgy, whatever he did, I just like that's a word I would not use to describe anybody. You know what I'm saying? I don't. I just feel like it's completely unnecessary. You could have said there's a chick. You know, that's not going to get you trending, though. Right?
Right.
That's not going to make you trend.
That's the edgy language, John. So, you know, that's why he's got the following he does.
I mean, it's just low. It's lowbrow
stuff.
And
they'll be fine with it, but ESPN will do some apology and doesn't represent us, and they'll move on like that.
It's not a good marriage, those two.
Doesn't seem like the fit is good.
Yeah. I mean, he's already had the run up with Norby. Mm-hmm. I think Norby ended up being pushed out, and now he's going to have this. You know, I don't know. There's some language stuff. I think that they have, like, it shows up later on YouTube. I don't know exactly what it is, but this is definitely going to be another incident for him. You know, at ESPN. So I don't watch it. I don't consume it. It's not for me. You know, I'm more of a JJ Redick, LeBron podcast. You know.
With your wine.
Yeah.
Some of us like to
learn about basketball, you know, and sort of sideline out of bounds. I mean, maybe not you. I mean,
learn about your next Lakers coach.
Maybe you want to, you know, ridiculous. Maybe you're a Pat McAfee guy, man. Maybe you just want to, you know, I don't know what they do on that show. There's real rabble rousers over there. Maybe that's your thing. But, you know, as for me and mine, we're going to be, you know, learning about timeout use and management and sort of, you know, screens and how many we're going to set here. And
I hope that goes well for you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the podcast will be super short, long-lived, as you said, because JJ's going to be the next coach. But it takes a special person to be able to sit through that podcast and really soak it in. You know what I mean? How I'm going to use that information.
Remember how terrible Steve Nash went for Brooklyn?
Yes. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Because
a lot like that.
JJ wasn't the player that Steve was.
This is some friend stuff.
Now, Steve had to navigate Kyrie and COVID. And in fairness, that was like, who could have done that? We forget how off the rails Kyrie had gotten. Wasn't playing in home games, was posting documentaries on Twitter, was pretty, I would say, remorseless about it. He was not the teammate he is today. And he grew. He matured. And he may have those same views. I don't know. But he at least is better about, you know, not publishing them on the internet.
But it was still a failed experiment.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Jock Vaughn was a better coach before, and then when you had to go back
Jock
to
Vaughn.
Him. Yeah, exactly.
You've got to let
better
him
than Willie Green.
You've got to let – oh, no. Yeah. Stop it, man.
Willie's facing some heat this year.
You know what I will say? Here's what I will say. Jason Kidd has proven me all the way wrong.
Well, he was on the hot seat coming into the year, so there were a lot of people that were doubting.
I mean, we haven't really talked a lot about the NBA today. I think now we were hoping to have Fitz, but, you know, I think he's still trying to, you know, figure out how to think about the Pat McAfee segment there. I really feel like of all the NBA coaches who have maybe changed my opinion in recent years, he's at the top. I used to sort of think he was a liability as a coach, but he threw some stuff at Minnesota and at OKC. Defensively, lineup-wise, the way he used Lively, the way he's gotten some maximized Gafford. I mean, I really think Jason Kidd has proved himself to be a good NBA coach. I'm not going to go much further than that.
Well, no, again, you can't. He was on a hot seat coming in this year. But, again, with the buy-in that he's got out of them defensively.
Yeah.
Now, again, a lot of it helped trade deadline moves. You bring in
for sure
Gafford. You bring
but
in
those
PJ
weren't
Washington.
Like stars.
But, dude, it was how they fit defensively.
Yeah.
And they literally
they got
go
Grant
from
Williams out of there.
Yeah. They literally go from, you know, bottom tier of the league till top 10. And so it's not just the buy-in he's gotten better. You know, that roster is better to play the defense they're doing now. But, dude, what he gets out of the, you know, out of that team, particularly out of those bigs and the way they make them weapons, dude, he's done a fantastic job. There's no question about it. And has earned the extension he got. He went from, again, a guy who went from a seat getting a little warm to now you look like you're cemented, you know, off this good year to get your contract extension.
Absolutely. And I think, like, this is probably the first series that he's going to be in the playoffs where I don't think he's at, like, a disadvantage.
Remember, he had lost, like, five straight game ones up until this, his Dallas teams. Like, it was shaky. Now, he was still the coach 2 years ago, right, when they made the Western Conference Finals 2 years ago, didn't
he? Yeah. I believe that's true.
Pretty sure it's right.
But, yeah, I mean, like, Joe Mazzulla, Joe Mazzulla's strange. He's a strange guy to me. I can't figure him out. Like, is he a good coach? Is he not? Does it really matter how good of a coach you are with that roster?
It does not. Yeah. We have no idea on Mazzulla.
It's true.
That team is so fortified.
Yes.
The upgrades with Stevens, what he did, bringing in Drew Holiday and Derek White, his emergency, go make the move for Kristaps Porzingis. Like, you and I could coach that Celtics team.
Exactly right. No, I think that's true. But I don't think that any coach could have figured out how to use PJ, Gafford, Lively, you know, all together. And, by the way, bring Kyrie in, and that all work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when that move got made, people were very critical of Dallas doing this. They're like, why on earth would you go get Kyrie Irving? I mean, you're going to put him next to Luka now? And it's been beautiful. It's been a beautiful thing. And look, I mean, I don't know what you've said about Kyrie, but this run for him I have really, really enjoyed. Not that, like, he's overcoming, you know, cancer or anything like that. Most of this stuff was self-inflicted. But I do think he has, as a person, grown and matured. And everything I hear about Kyrie today, you know, is positive. And you can just sort of see it, you know, in his game. And so I've been a big I've been a big fan of the Mavs run, no doubt about it.
Well, and Ante Edwards woke him up, unfortunately, after the, and we've discussed this.
He called him out.
Right after they beat Denver, he called him out.
He says, I got Kyrie.
And he had been quiet against OKC, only averaged 17 points. You woke him back up.
That's right.
And you got him motivated again. But again, instead of being the jerk who says, look at what this guy said about me, dude, he was so smooth about it. And again, Charles tried to use it as bait or whatever to get under his skin. It was all, yeah, I was at the dinner table. It was a motivator. Let's just say that. And he's been given these opportunities to take the bait out of the Boston situation, everything else. He hadn't done it. He has turned over a new leaf that says, I'm going to be a giver as opposed to a taker.
100%.
And opposed to, as opposed to it being all about me. Let me prove to everybody in the room I'm the smartest thing in here. In terms of basketball IQ, I should not be questioned. He's now, it's clear. I mean, Kyrie has sort of found a peace in being that guy next to Luka, just like he was next to LeBron. And I think he, at one time he bristled up at the idea of that yeah. image that he couldn't be 1A. He is absolutely the second guy in line, and he's fine with that now.
Yes.
And so it's led to some peace in a different version of it.
Yeah, so look, in terms of the way this series, Brad is tending to some business elsewhere, so we can have this discussion freely and not influence his mm-hmm. opinion.
He's leaning in Dallas.
I think, spoiler alert, folks, he's going to take Dallas in game one. I do think for me, where I worry about Dallas is if you're telling me Porzingis is back and he's close
he
to himself.
Be. I don't know how close he'll be to himself, but he should be back.
I think that takes a lot away from the way that Dallas has been winning with the interior. Because they haven't really played. I mean, Chet, you know, did kind of step out a little bit, but he's still so young and not nearly as strong, right, as he's going to be in 5, 10, 12 years. And I think with Porzingis, he's going to really keep Lively and Gafford out there. Or you're going to have to put PJ on him, I guess. But then, like, who's going to guard, you know, their bigs? I don't know. Like, who's going to guard Tatum and Brown? You know, you only have so many guys. You can't – Luka and Kyrie are going to be liabilities defensively. So I feel like you lose the rim protection that you've had and done so well at having when you – introduce Porzingis, who is so capable of shooting. If he's in there and he's out, like, to me, that's the swing. And that's why they went out and they got him. They didn't have that. They didn't have that big that could put pressure on defenses like that. So if you tell me that Porzingis is out there, I would say that the Dallas Mavericks are going to lose this series probably in five. That's how I think it could be a five-game series. I'm high on that matchup. If he's not, and he's not right, and he looks a little rusty, and it takes him a couple games, then, yeah, maybe the Dallas has a chance. They still game one, something like that. But I think that's the matchup of the series. It's Porzingis versus the because I just think Brown and Tatum and Kyrie and Luka, they'll trade, right? They'll go bucket for bucket. But where you start to see the edges, I feel like, is with Porzingis.
I mean, he could easily be the difference in the series. I would keep pointing back to Drew Holiday and freaking Derek White. And what you were getting from those two is so much more than Marcus Smart was. Number one, you're getting a champion in Drew Holiday. But dude's sticking his nose in there, I think, got you 9 rebounds in the closeout game. He gets the big steal on Nembhard to finish that off. Like, what he does in the two-way guy now that Derek White is, Josh Hart called him the most impactful guy on the Celtics. Now, you don't go that far, but that's how far. That's how players are thinking of Derek White now. If you looked at that Indiana series down the stretch, the ball was ending up with Derek White, the big pass from Jaylen Brown that he hit the three on. It's those two and how much better they are in two spots right there. The difference makers they are, John, on both ends when you add it to Brown and Tatum and, oh, by the way, looking like you're going to have Porzingis back, that I think is too much. Those two dudes in particular, man, they went out, the Celtics went out, and we questioned whether losing Marcus Smart was going to be losing your heart. They went out and got better.
Right.
And Drew Holiday and Derek White continuing to step up and take the next step, like a step I didn't think he'd be able to take.
Yep.
Dude, he has been so efficient offensively in these playoffs to go with unbelievable defense on the other end. And so the fact that you're getting those kind of contributions from what are supposed to be role players, like Sane said it best on Friday, he's like, that's four books. It's not just two books you're getting, like a Spades reference with Jaylen and with Tatum. You really got four. With the way Holiday and White are playing, bro.
Yes, agreed.
And now maybe you got five with Porzingis.
Yeah, I mean, I think
your point about rim protection is good, though, because again, Horford is not that. So he'll give them a dimension they really have not had.
If Porzingis was out for the whole series, I would definitely be betting Mavericks. But that's all priced in, right? If it was just Horford, it would not be -210 +190, right? it would probably be closer to minus 140, plus 115, something like that. But I do think KP is that big of a disadvantage for Dallas, because I don't know how you figure it out. And plus, they've just been living off contributions, right, from Jaden Hardy. Like, Jaden Hardy's made some huge shots for them.
They've shown off a depth I didn't know they had there.
I know. It's like, but is that like a mirage, though? Is that real, or is it just kind of a mirage?
Again, I mean, Tim Hardaway, they've needed somebody else. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. And PJ last series wasn't nearly as good offensively as he was the series before.
Exactly.
So, yeah, when they've needed some others to step up. But really, it's how you make Lively and Gafford. We talked about this. Two guys you would never throw the ball into. Two guys you would never look at as scoring threats. Hell, one of them is a freaking rookie. How you make them scoring threats, because you got two guys with the ball that come into the lane, draw all that attention, and can throw that alley-oop. It's different. And I don't think Porzingis is going to stop that.
For sure.
He may slow it. Hell, they just did the best defense in the league in Minnesota, who had a four-time defensive player of the year in there, and they made him look silly at times. Porzingis, if he ain't fully right, you know, that's...
Yeah, no, it's a question.
They can still make you look silly. I just think that is a dimension that Boston hasn't had that Dallas has not.
I think the concern for...
Like, he ain't some stopper that Rudy ain't.
No, that's true. I mean, that's 100% right.
They made him look bad at times.
It's more so, I think, the what he does on offense that will give the defense, which has been great for Dallas, the fits.
They're now, unbelievable.
I think for the Boston side, what they have to be concerned about here is, that, dude, Dallas don't give a damn. Like, they don't care about your narrative 100%
and how it's your turn.
They don't,
because you've been hitting your head, you know, against this finals wall, conference finals wall for a while. Luka doesn't care,
and they compete on every position. They just beat the Timberwolves in five, right? I mean, that was as impressive, you know, as you're going to see. You know,
took them apart, bro.
Yeah, and I mean, even though they lost game four, they were still in it. And had a chance to win. They were leading, I think, in the fourth quarter. So this team is playing its best basketball, and they compete on every trip, which is where I think Boston does struggle, because they don't. They don't compete on every position. You see it. It's why they lose. Like,
they were better last series, but yes, they didn't.
Yes, they were better last series, and even those games were pretty damn close with no Halliburton. I mean, those were could have gone either way. Indiana, you can make the argument, should have won two games of the four. You know, they were leading or whatever.
Should have won the first one. And
in the previous two series, they dropped game two both times.
Right.
You cannot do that against Luka, because he will jump on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I think it's going to require a level of attention and focus that Boston has not really historically ever had with their group. Maybe they have it. Maybe they don't. If they do, yeah, five. If they don't, dude, Dallas can win this game in seven games, or the series in seven games, for sure.
That's where Drew Holiday can step in. A guy who's been there, done it, can sense that.
Yes.
We're not doing that here. Can't do it.
Understand what we're up against.
Mm-hmm.
This ain't Cleveland, and this ain't, Miami without Jimmy Butler. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You give that team life, you may not get a chance to win a championship.
Luka's different like that, though.
I do think this series will be fun. Game to game.
Yeah, I do too.
You know? I think it'd be more fun than, like, I guess if
because, dude, they just dismantled Minnesota in terms of offensively. That's a great defense.
Yep.
And Minnesota only played one good defensive game against them. That's after holding the defending champs to, like, 80 points on average at their place, at Denver. You shut that down, but you couldn't do a thing with Dallas. And so that's what I'm saying. They've OKC second in the playoffs in defense in the playoffs. OKC was. You took that apart. And so they will not be intimidated, to your point. Luka doesn't care about your narratives and everything else. He looks like he's ready to win a title. And so, I'm very curious to see how this unfolds. I don't know about your five. I don't know about five. That might be too few.
Yeah, it might be. It could be. But
was based on if Porzingis goes,
is right.
Got Boston.
And he's 100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
If he's good. If he's not.
Well, he's had the extra time to get ready.
Yeah,
I thought at one time he'd be ready last series.
Game one is next Friday.
Feels like it.
And we will be having a watch party out of Dennis Fuller's house. We will be giving.
Looking forward to that.
He has got a whole spread that he is going to have.
He's a great cook. I've seen it in the Facebook photos.
He's a foodie. And so he has promised us that he is going to have an entire spread. Yes. No question about it.
He's a big
Jaylen Brown fan, is what I hear, is that he's just a big fan of his game. So Cal graduate. Yeah, he likes the sort of the academic background, you know. So, anyway, we'll give everybody some details on Dennis Fuller's watch party here next Friday for Game 1. We'll come back, wrap it up on a Monday. I'm back, Jason and John, on Eternal FM, ESPN. Hey, you want to launch your savings? Maybe you don't know where to begin. A really effective way to do that and to help your money grow, which is what I'm all about, just let your money work for you, is the Forward Plus High Yield Savings Account from our friends at Leaders Credit Union. A couple of important things. No minimums, no balance tiers, no restrictions that are going to keep you from championing your personal finance. You can earn up to 4.25% APY on your money. All you have to do to open your account is visit leaderscu.com/ESPN. You're going to see all the details, get everything you want to know, all the disclosures. Leaders is your financial champion, federally insured by the NCUA. Saw this tweet also from Hitmen Hoops.
I pay attention when Hitmen tweets.
He says that if the Tigers do add Arthur Kaluma, it would move Memphis up 9 spots from 32 to 23, according to Bart Torvik. Now, how do you like that? Now, I know that everybody thought that after I left for paternity leave, that when I came back, that I wasn't going to talk about Bart Torvik.
No, we a whole month without referencing him.
But I'm back. And I told y'all that in 2024, the second half, I'm coming different.
Yeah, we heard it on your Kalen.
I'm coming different. Man. All right? So how about that? Be 32 to 23. That'd be a good. I mean, the computers would seem to like Memphis a little bit better than they did last year. So, hey, I'm just the messenger, brother, and I'm back.
Y'all stop asking Penny questions.
Down. It's gonna do it for us today. No guest to thank, just each other and you for listening. It's good to be back.
Right.
Thanks to Brad Carson. Thanks to Dennis Fuller. Jeffrey and Company.
Look forward to listening.
Jeffrey and Company. Okay. Who will the company be today? Stay tuned, find out. That's next. Jason, I'm John. We're gone. Turn FM, ESPN. Hey, you want to launch your savings? Maybe you don't know where to begin. A really effective way to do that and to help your money grow, which is what I'm all about. Just let your money work for you, is the Forward Plus High Yield Savings Account from our friends at Leaders Credit Union. Couple of important things. No minimums, no balance tiers, no restrictions that are going to keep you from championing your personal finance. You can earn up to 4.25% APY on your money. All you have to do to open your account is visit leaderscu.com/ESPN. You're going to see all the details, get everything you want to know, all the disclosures. Leaders is your financial champion, federally insured by the NCUA. Saw this tweet also from Hitmen Hoops.
I pay attention when Hitmen tweets.
He says that if the Tigers do add Arthur Kaluma, it would move Memphis up 9 spots from 32 to 23, according to Bart Torvik. Now, how do you like that? Now, I know that everybody thought that after I left for paternity leave, that when I came back, that I wasn't going to talk about Bart Torvik.
No, we a whole month without referencing him.
But I'm back. And I told y'all that in 2024, the second half, I'm coming different.
Yeah, we heard it on your Kalen.
I'm coming different. Man. All right? So how about that? Be 32 to 23. That'd be a good. I mean, the computers would seem to like Memphis a little bit better than they did last year. So, hey, I'm just the messenger, brother. And I'm back.
Y'all stop asking Penny questions.
Down. It's going to do it for us today. No guest to thank, just each other and you for listening. It's good to be back.
Right.
Thanks to Brad Carson. Thanks to Dennis Fuller. Jeffrey and Company.
Look forward to listening.
Jeffrey and Company. Okay. Who will the company be today? Stay tuned, find out. That's next. Jason, I'm John. We're gone.